And I'm so pleased to welcome guests into our studio. So pleased to welcome back to the program for a chat, Councillor at Large Anne Mahoney, stopping by to tell us all things City Hall and beyond.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good to see you, Anne. Thanks
it's
for coming over.
It's always nice to be here.
Yeah, it's been, I think, I was looking back, I think it was just before the end of last year that you stopped by, so.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Yes, it's great.
You know, who knows, maybe I'll be doing this weekly. Just kidding.
Okay. We're here for you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Sure. So how's things going for you?
Things are going good. I mean, you know, I get a lot of great feedback and I talk to people. I will say going to the grocery store does take me about 3 hours to maybe pick up not even a full basket of groceries. But there's a lot of people and there's a lot of dialogue that's happening in the city. And there's a lot of confusion in the city right now. Mm. Specifically, around some recent newscasts that were going on in regards to Sergeant John Ryan. Mm-hmm. I certainly did not put that in the news, but I obviously have ruffled some feathers in the city regarding that. And it's unfortunate.
Mm.
You know, the other night at the city council meeting, I did put a resolve in. And prior to putting the resolve in, the attorney general, I did not know the attorney general had any notification of this. And even with it being at the attorney general, they're not commenting on it. So I wasn't going to back down from actually bringing this forward to the city council. And it was important because, quite honestly, John Ryan was a sergeant of the Quincy Police Force for over 30 years.
Wow.
And he is, you know, he had commendable service while he was in the police force. And he did suffer an injury in a car accident that, and those are all facts.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other facts that played out from the investigation was that, you know, he was driving his own car, he was at fault in the accident, and then there were some altercations to the records. So in 2010, when the accident happened, it appeared that he was headed to the Veterans Day Parade, and then in 2012, when he was applying for a disability pension, it looks like the records were changed. And it's very clear that they were. And they were changed from going to a Veterans Day Parade to a National Grid detail. And even at that time, the state agency PERIC, which is the public employee, I'm not gonna mess that one
mm-hmm.
up. I'll get that for you. But it's basically the state agency that approves. So for anybody to get a pension, they have to go to the state, so go to the city retirement board and to PERIC. And it went to the city retirement board, it went to PERIC, and it got kicked back to the city. It got rejected by the PERIC to come back to the city. So there's certain guidelines that they have to check off. So they're like appellate court where they have to just, you know, fix the boxes and say that everything was attached. And usually when they don't make it because they're saying, well, he doesn't qualify because he was not on duty, it doesn't come back from cities and towns. It's usually the final settlement. But something was altered and it went back past the retirement board. They got the information that they needed, the Quincy retirement board. It went to PERIC. PERIC got the information they needed, and they passed it on. But they also passed it on with a warning saying that they felt there was something odd. Because when I called them, they said, you know, it's not normal that records usually change, and they thought it was something was odd about that.
Have you seen the actual altered records?
I have not seen the actual altered records.
Okay.
But then I called them only after the Channel 5 news.
Yeah, they're citing unnamed sources.
Yep.
Yeah.
But News 5 came out with this, and I called PERIC. I kind of took a step back from Quincy. I was like, I'm not going to call, you know, I know certain people. I know John Ryan. I know the people who are being named. I know Jim Timmons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense for me to call them directly because I truly believe that it needs to be looked at a third party for a real review. Now, my hope is that it is all accurate and that, you know, because I truly like to believe that I can have faith in my government. But without doing this, there's a real outcry out there of people not trusting government. And that goes across the board. It goes from cities and towns to our states, to our federal government, and people with pensions in particular, because, you know, right now with the economy the way it is, people's 401ks are falling. And that's their retirement. That's their pension. So when you hear something like this where you think somebody might be abusing the pension system or a community might be altering something for somebody to abuse, it creates an atmosphere of distrust.
Mm.
And it doesn't instill that feeling that we're living in a community that we can actually believe the people who are representing us. And I know the people, I thought about it, and I really felt like the only way we can do this is by having an unbiased review, and that would be the Attorney General. And I did call around to my city councilors, and some of them, you know, were like, yeah, I can understand that. And they didn't call me back and tell me they weren't going to say yes. They didn't say they were going to say yes to me, but they didn't say they were going to say no. And so
they didn't say anything.
So, well, no, when I talked to them on the phone, they didn't say yes or no.
I mean, at the meeting, they didn't say anything.
No, they didn't say anything. They let Jim Timmons tell them that it was a statute of limitations. There's no statute of limitations on, you know, on this because it's an action. And in the collection of the pension is happening. So the question is, it should be investigated and determined whether or not the disability pension is the correct, was awarded correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the only way you can do that is by having a third party, the AG, which does this and has the resources to do this, look into it. Now, the other question was, I think Council President Liang said I was confused. Now, there's one thing that I'm not, and I'm not confused. So I think maybe Nita's confused about this. The reality of this is that more people that ask for the investigation, it's more likely the investigation will happen. And the fact of the matter is that if there is an ongoing investigation, like they say, the AG is not telling us that. They're not telling us anything. But they want to hear from people because the more people that say something, the more likely they'll be able to actually do the investigation because they get a lot of requests for that.
Mm.
I was asking my city council because we all represent the same people, the taxpayers and the residents of the city of Quincy. And there's an outcry to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to them to say yes or no. They made their determination. But I'm telling you, I'm getting a lot of phone calls in the last couple of days telling me that I did the right thing.
The council president told me that she felt that that would have been redundant for the city council to make that request.
So that's very silly, and we all know that. That's just a silly comment from a silly. It's just silly that that's been said, and I'll explain why that's silly. And I'll use an example, and it's a different example, but just think about this. The opioid crisis and going after the institutions that create the opioids, the pharmaceuticals. Now, that was done by other communities. The city of Quincy did it too, and we feel strong because we're going after them. It would be redundant if everybody went after them, but instead it creates a stronger force to be able to say, we want this taken care of. Two different examples, but the same idea. To say that, all the other communities are doing it, so should we do that too, or is that just going to clog the system? Well, the reality of it is that we have something that's happening, and it's a scar on our city. And we've had silence from the administration. Silence. The mayor broke his silence, and he would do the same thing tomorrow, he said. The chief of police has said nothing. Allegations, very strong allegations, being placed on our city, on the way we're doing our business, and we have silence. And the idea is that we'll let somebody outside of our community send it to the AG, and we won't ask it? If the administration is so strongly in belief that the right things were done and they would do the same thing tomorrow, then why wouldn't he join with me to go to the AG? Why wouldn't he do it himself?
Have you asked him directly?
I have not.
Okay.
But I have to tell you that the administration and the comments that were made in the paper from the administration to suggest that I'm trying to grab news headlines is ridiculous. Because quite honestly, when they are usually the ones who control the news headlines. For the most part on the city council, they don't call me when they're going to put something into the newspaper. I have to read about it and then go to the city council to learn about it. And that's not the way we should work. So for me to call the mayor and ask him that would be no different than for me to get in touch with the chief of police or to talk to Jim Timmons after he was in the newspaper, our city solicitor, on the news, on Channel 5, talking about Sergeant Ryan and saying that he does not know him personally, but he comes from a great Quincy family. And that is something that's extremely disturbing, too, because John Ryan sat, I think he's now retired from it, but sat on the planning board. The very planning board that voted through the Fox Rock Hospital Hill reverter clause. Jim Timmons was at that meeting. If he's to tell me that he doesn't know who sits on the planning board, I'd be very surprised. So, no, I did not call people to do this. I brought it to where I thought was my place to bring it to. My representation is on the city council. I brought that resolve to the city council and asked my fellow colleagues to join me. And at that case, the mayor knew it was there because it gets onto the agenda. He could have picked up the phone and called me as well. He could have told me he wanted to join me and go to the AG because he believes strongly. But he was silent at that point. And not until it went to the city council did he come out and break his silence. When he's the representative of the city of Quincy and there's an accusation, a very strong one, being represented in the news throughout the Commonwealth, not just in the city of Quincy, that we have a scar on our reputation. And I think that's his obligation to make sure that we clear that up.
Okay. So you read a letter into the record. You're moving forward on your own on this.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. And I did send it.
Okay.
I know the city was sending it for me, but I also sent it certified mail. So it is at the, and I will follow up with that.
Okay.
And I feel strongly that that's the only way that we can move forward. And I hope, for I really do, because I do know John, and I know the people that are in play here. And I do hold out hope, just like anybody would, that the right things were done, mm-hmm. and that we can put this behind us. But we can't put it behind us by saying that Jim Timmons is going to be the one that's investigating it internally. And for him to suggest that it's already being taken care of and it would be confusing to anybody else to get another letter, it's incredulous that he could actually stand before us and say that. But it's not my place to tell him that. But, you know, it's not the first time that Jim Timmons, as our city solicitor, stood in front of the city council and told me with a certainty that I was absolutely wrong on something. And I'll use an example that just happened on Monday night, when we were looking at the land for the police station.
Yes.
So the VFW.
Yes.
On December 19th, and I encourage everybody who has access to QATV to go back and watch the December 19th City Council meeting, mm-hmm. where Jim Timmons tells me that he's a real estate attorney, and he could assure me the title was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And with assurances, he had Mr. Masterson come up and tell me that they had cleared the title and they didn't know what I was talking about, and I went through this whole arduous explanation of how I went to the Norfolk County Registry of Deeds and I found this, and this, and Jim Timmons said, I wish you called me before the meeting so I could have this in front of me. Where I had called everybody and their brother researching this, because again, the only place you get information from is in the news. And I went back and researched the Patriot Ledger articles, and it basically said that the VFW should have reverted to the city of Quincy. They used the idea that the reverter had an expiration, but Weymouth had the same example and their reverter went back prior to 1954. So why is the city of Quincy not reverting a piece of property that they have identified in 2010 for a specific need for the police station, allowing that piece of property to be sold, and then saying that the title was clear because the sale had happened? And then on Monday night, Mr. Masterson stood up in front of us, and I asked him that question. He said, actually, you were right. And he went through the whole explanation again, and that they wanted the $1.9 million to be able to buy or put it in put, you know, put, be able to negotiate with the owner. But they wouldn't release it until they brought him to court to make sure that we could find out about the reverter.
He said it would end up in court.
Two reverters, one in 1954 and one in 1970. The 1970 had something on the deed that looked like it might release him from the reverter. It's the smaller piece of property. The 1954 is the larger piece of property. That the city of Quincy knew very well that that reverter was there. And Mr. Timmons assured me on December 19th, in fact, he pretty much called me out as saying that I didn't know what I was talking about. But on Monday night, Mr. Matheson told me I was correct. And when I pushed him, he said it was political reasons and he couldn't answer. And the political reasons are this administration. So I, for one, when Jim Timmons is standing in front of me telling me that this is unprecedented to send a letter to the Attorney General, I'm going back to that, because it's unprecedented to send a letter to the Attorney General from this body, I'm not going to listen to Attorney Timmons, because I think Attorney Timmons would like very much to keep this story in the boundaries of the city of Quincy. And that's my feeling. That's not the city council's feeling. But of course, if you look at it closely, it would make sense, because the mayor has stayed silent. The story's been out since February. It's March. It's over a month that this story's been in the headlines, dominating the headlines. And we have been silent. The question is, why would we be silent about something that we should not be? Because we would want to come to the end of that. So I like to say that I truly believe that this is going to be resolved, and that hopefully, just like I said that night, I don't want to be hurtful to anybody here. But at the same time, I want to be transparent and to once again regain a stability in the city of Quincy and the things that we do. And should there be anything that is incorrect in the actions, that we as a city find a way to have remediations for those so that doesn't happen again. Because those are the things that we should do in a city to protect the taxpayers of the city of Quincy.
Just to get back to the Bryan Post, and for folks who aren't familiar, it's the old VFW post on Broad Street, right, that we're talking about. Who the city owns that now, or who owns that now?
So who owns it now is the, I'm going to say the name incorrectly, it's the Iorios who own it
okay.
now.
So it's private ownership.
So it's private ownership.
Okay.
It was sold, but it would have had to have been sold with a reverter on anything. It would have had to have been sold with the knowledge of the city of Quincy, because you can't go from being knowledgeable about something and then not knowledgeable about something. And, you know, this is, and I actually talked to a lot of people about this too, Joe. from the IG's office to, I went through everybody and went explaining to the auditors because of public funds, because the question is that that would be land that should come back to us. And when explaining it, they said, you really, and to attorneys, and basically attorneys, the interesting thing about it was it would cost me a lot of money, and I don't have that kind of funding to be able to do that. But the question that I had was, is this common? Does this happen? Is this something that could, is there such thing as a revert or expiring? And everybody said that a good title attorney would be able to tell you that.
Okay.
The city should want to have that good title attorney. We do, Mr. Matheson. Mr. Matheson said to me that he could not in good faith just say that the title is clear, that they will have to go. He's just not going to do that. He's not going to put himself in that position. I'm speaking for him, but my impression is he's going to stand up for his, you know, he's going to protect his best interests as his career and not put something forward that needs to be checked. However, when he looked at it, he only looked at it back to the Iorios. When he first looked at it, and it looked as though, because they owned it, nobody else has owned it. It's changed a couple of times between LLCs through the same name, but same owners. But when he went back and looked prior to that, he found what I found.
Okay.
And he said, you know, I don't know why that didn't come up. I'm not sure how it wouldn't come up. I was mystified as to how you had this and I didn't get it when I asked for this. I had to dig for it. But he found it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, you were absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Monday night's meeting. You were right. What you brought to our attention, you were right. I called Mr. Timmons. We sat down and we decided we're going to go forward. We're going to go into it. And he said, you know, In the situation of how it got sold, he's not sure.
Okay.
He wasn't there. He can't be sure. But the same situation, if it was sold and they were going to buy it, if it got past us in 2011 when it was sold, he said they should have come back to the city council. And from what I've been able to find out, which is minimal, but I was not able to find anything that would actually show that. I mean, if it went to the city council, I would like for somebody to produce, you know, the administration could produce the video. Maybe QATV can produce the video of the meeting where the city council makes a vote to say that release the reverter for them to sell it. I don't believe that happened.
Okay.
It would have made the news. I mean, it would have been in the Patriot Ledger because it was making the Patriot Ledger at that time to say that the city was trying to take it for back taxes and that there was a reverter and the claim for the reverter was very clear.
Well, wouldn't it be in the minutes of the meeting?
No, can't find it. So I can do so much of his investigation. Mm-hmm. I do work full time during the day. so there's only so much that you can do to do that. So my point is that if it's not in the minutes, you can't find it anyplace and it's not written in an article and the Patriot Ledger was picking up all of the articles for the VFW post at that time, then the sale just happened and it was quiet. So how does that happen is the question. And then on the other side of that, it's the difference there was that the city of Quincy was owed back taxes for the VFW, about $300,000 in back taxes. So if it sold for $525,000, the question is $225,000, who did it go to?
Right.
And on the other side of that, and somebody else would say, well, this is the VFW. We're not here to attack veterans. I'm not here to attack veterans. But not all veterans go to VFW posts either. You know, my dad is a 92-year-old veteran, and he doesn't go to VFW posts.
Mm-hmm.
And he pays taxes in the city of Quincy. And it's getting hard for him to stay in the city of Quincy.
Mm.
And to know that the city of Quincy is now taking $1.9 million to purchase a piece of property that maybe they should have owned is going to hurt the 92-year-olds that live in the city of Quincy.
I guess it could have been bought for much less, right, or acquired for much less.
Or not had to be acquired at all.
Right, okay.
With a loss of $300,000 in our back taxes because they hadn't paid their taxes. And you know these aren't accusations. These are facts.
But the council has already approved $32 million for all the properties for the new police station.
The same council that didn't go along with me to clear our name in the city of Quincy is the same council who said yes to the $32 million. And when Mr. Matheson mentioned this the other night, not one other councilor had a question or scratched their head and said, "Ah, that's odd." You mean to say we could have had that back, or you didn't know this?
Mm-hmm.
Those are big, and it should make you kind of, and I said that to them, it should make you question this before you say yes. I even tried to push back in the sense that I was saying, we've approved in finance, it's in finance, they can use it.
Yes.
We have to approve for them to actually go out and purchase things. The volatile market that we're in right now, the crashing market, the bear market that we're in, the Federal Reserve rates dropping, you know, we are in a city where we're in the recession that they're predicting, that they're saying that, you know, what's happening now is nothing that what could be happening in May or June or July. And I'm not trying to create false concern, but I think everybody, again, who relies on that 401k is nervous, okay? And everybody in the financial industry is is starting to feel the spiral because the Feds, the Federal Reserve, cut the prime rate, which is what indicates, you know, how we're trying to prevent ourselves to go into a recession.
Right.
Last week, they cut it by 0.50, which is they call it
half a percent, basically. Yeah.
So it went from 0.475 to 0.2425.
Yeah.
Next week on March 18th, the Feds will meet again, and the prediction, Federal Reserve will meet again, and the prediction it will go down by 1.0. And we're getting to a point where it's below a bench for people, meaning the Fed, for financial institutions. Great for people who are able to go out and refinance their mortgages.
Right. Yep.
Great for people to get home equity loans.
Yep.
Terrible for the economy, because what will happen is you better get it now, because what they're predicting is a lot, because of everything that's going on, that there's a recession in the
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern was maybe we should just hold off a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Do this investigation on the VFW.
Yeah.
And not approve this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And they said, no, we've had this picked. We're going ahead. We need to have the police station built. And I thought, but we're not building it tomorrow. And there's no harm in waiting maybe 3 or 4 months to actually approve this and negotiate. Plus, the other thing that happens in these situations, Joe, is when a recession happens, sometimes what happens is the market drops for certain things. Real estate is usually one of them.
Yes. Yeah.
And what we're buying for 1.9 that we shouldn't be buying could actually be much less.
Yeah.
And, you know, but for the wisdom of my fellow colleagues who don't seem to think that there's any questions to be asked and that this is all great, everything's fantastic, let's just say yes and spend the taxpayers' money, and then when it comes time to actually put the tax rate back in, we can tell them all that it's all, we're all great, and we're not great, because we need to actually hold a little bit of fiscal responsibility, actually ask those questions, and be cautious about the direction we're going in when the predictions in the market is that we're heading into some really, you know, tricky territory.
Mm.
Because in the end, if we remember just 10 years ago what it was like in our economy when the last time this happened, and they're predicting it's going to be worse.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the best thing to do would be to tighten your belts and to start to pay attention to the direction we're going in. I'm not saying that we're not going to do that, that this administration's not going to do it,
right.
But I'm not sensing that right now.
Okay.
And I do get concerned, because I get more phone calls from seniors and from young families who are struggling in the city of Quincy, because they seem to think that everything is going to developers, and it's going to, it's being, people are being, other people are being taken care of other than what they feel like themselves. And, you know, there's no clear indicator as to how we can make that, you know, shift happen.
Mm.
And the administration will say that that your assessed values are going up and everything's great, but in a recession, your assessed values go down. And if we're at the top rank of our assessed values and those go down, people are refinanced at that point, then they're underwater. So we have bigger problems headed that way. So, and the concern then too is, you know, how do we make sure that we're able to sustain ourselves with all the things that we have going on? And I don't know if we're doing that assessment right now in the city of Quincy.
All right.
But, you know, it sounds really dire here, but it is a situation. I mean, we were also talking about the coronavirus.
Yes.
That is very real. And, you know, I appreciate the presentation that was done. I think that we are all going to be paying attention to that as well.
But, sure.
You know, at the same time, you know, we can't make that the only thing that we're focused on. We should be focusing on that and make sure that we're self-containing it as much as we can. And, you know, businesses are doing it. Businesses are making, you know, having people work from home.
Yep.
People are asked to if they think they might be exposed to it, to stay in, you know, to self-contain, self-quarantine themselves. I know yesterday that that the JF Kennedy Library came out, and that the I know that the Montclair School,
yes,
had a fifth grade class that went there on March 2nd. They're,
yep,
almost all the way through. So that I know that just happened, because I happen to know some families that are at the Montclair School.
Yeah, there's a message on the school website this morning about that. So, yeah.
Yep, I got multiple phone calls yesterday,
yeah,
from parents from Montclair, and specifically from the very parent who reported it.
Oh.
Because she heard it, and she was very worried, because her daughter was on that field trip.
Yeah.
And she is definitely somebody who, you know, when she called me, she wanted to make sure that, you know, she wanted to make sure it was escalated, because she was concerned.
Yeah.
Because she's one of the people that are concerned that things don't get done right in the city of Quincy.
Mm.
And when it all, and I said, you know, you just have to have faith. I truly believe you talk to the principal talked to the superintendent. I know the superintendent has the best interest at heart. They called the CDC, they did all the things, and by 6 o'clock, without intervention from Ann Mahoney, I'm not saying I needed to, I didn't need to.
Right.
All the right things happened.
Yep.
So I want people at home to be assured about that too.
Okay.
That it doesn't always, I do have faith in the city of Quincy.
Okay.
The right things do happen, but sometimes they don't. And when they don't, we need to stand up and make sure that they do so that we can clear our name and move forward. And with that, Joe, that's how I feel. And one last thing I would say is that this weekend is a big showing for the Quincy High School Into the Woods.
Yes.
I have huge sensitivity to these hardworking young students because of the coronavirus. I would ask that people, you know, if you're sick, don't go.
Right.
But please come out and support these young, talented, incredibly excited young people. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It will be the best money you spend.
Yeah.
I always think anything that our Quincy Public Schools put on is so worth going to see. And I know it's Friday and Saturday night. I think they're going to be on again the following Friday
they
and
are.
Saturday
yep.
night. I just ask for people to come. That I'm hoping QATV is going to be able to record that for people to see as well. Because when I say they work hard, I just know how hard our students, whether it's in, you know, in sports or in plays,
mm-hmm.
how hard they do, and they deserve to be recognized for that hard work. So I hope people will come out and see them.
Great. Yeah, okay. It's at the Lloyd Hill Auditorium at Quincy High School. It's March 13th, 14th, and then 20th and 21st also, 7:30 p.m. Great.
Yep.
How do folks get in touch with you, Anne, if they would like to get more information or more comments to you?
Well, I have to tell you, people know how to get in touch with me, but I will be happy to share that. You can certainly call at the City Hall. You call the City Hall. We have the phone numbers are listed on the website. You
okay.
can call me, and I always try to call you back. They can email me at amahoney@quincymass.gov, and they can call me on my personal cell phone at 617-719-7378. And as I like to say, there's pretty much nowhere I go in the city of Quincy. I ride the train. I see people on the train. I'm talking on the train. I see people at the grocery store. Like I said, if I go to the grocery store, I don't want people to think that that's bothersome to me.
Sure.
And many people, including many people, I see at the YMCA.
Okay.
So I work out in the city of Quincy. I shop in the city of Quincy. I participate in all activities in the city of Quincy. And I'm so happy that people have put themselves out there to actually call me, both prior to me talking about this resolve and actually sending the letter into the Attorney General,
mm-hmm.
and then post. Because they are, I will say this, that the one thing I really feel strong that I wanted people to know is that the uncertainty, the real question that people have is, you know, why the city council wouldn't go along with me, because it was less the reaction of what I was doing, as Councilor Liang said that she was confused what I was doing. The confusion wasn't about what I was doing. The confusion that the people of the city of Quincy are calling to tell me is what they were doing.
Mm.
So I think maybe there's some self-reflection that needs to happen there as well. I was pretty straightforward with what I was doing. The AG has not confirmed that they are doing anything with it. And if we stand together, we actually get the correct answers rather than being told not to worry about something. And the coronavirus is one of those things they told us not to worry about, and it is something that we should be worrying about. And the same thing with when we are not discussing the very issues that we have, if we're not willing to look to the bottom line. So
we'd let us know if you hear from the Attorney General's office.
I would be happy to. I'll be happy to come back
on.
So thanks so much, Joe.
You're welcome, Anne. Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.